I'm here in Oakview Nursing Home and I'm talking to Monica O'Reilly. Monica, lovely to be here in your company. You were born in 1927.
Yes.
In Ballyconnell.
No, I was born in Dublin, in Nursing Home in Dublin.
Oh, right.
She was 40 years of age when I was born.
Oh, okay. And where you grew up in Ballyconnell Village,
yes.
Did you?
All my life in Ballyconnell.
And you've seen many changes.
Oh, a lot of changes.
Yeah.
A lot of changes.
Talk to me about your early days, going to school and...
I remember the first day I went to school.
Where was that?
The National School in Ballyconnell. And Eileen Cassidy brought me to school. Her mother was the teacher. She lived up the street from me. She'd be daughter of P.B. Cassidy's.
Yeah.
And the school was a four-teacher school. There was junior and senior girls, junior and senior boys. The house that I lived in, mm-hmm. The Black and Tans took it over in 1922.
And tell me about that.
Well, I don't remember it now, to say I wasn't alive then.
Oh, I know that, but tell me about that. Where was the house?
At the bottom of Church Street, too.
Yeah.
In the heart of Ballyconnell, the centre of Ballyconnell.
Yeah.
They commandeered the building there.
They took the building, and my father was on the run at the time. They were only working in Toomey's. It was a draper shop. And I often hear my mother say the shoes in bed, and they came in with bayonets, put them out of bed, and they took over the shop and had it as a barracks. And the shop then was up in the old town hall. And they lived out in Cross. Her uncle had a house out there.
Yes.
Okay. That's all now I know.
And what was your dad's name?
Bernard Rudden.
R-U-D-D-E-N. Ian Rudden. Did he ever talk about his time?
No.
Really?
No, my mother never wanted to talk about it.
Imagine. And why do you think that was?
It was so traumatic. You know.
Yeah.
The Black and Tans were terrible.
Yeah. Did it leave a kind of a mark, you know, that people were terribly against the British and the English for that?
Oh, yes.
Did you travel much into the north in those days?
When I was a child, we did. We had relations down. My grandmother was from the north.
And who was she and where was she from?
My mother's mother was Curry from across the border.
What was the name of the place?
Far down. Gortharie.
Gortharie.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't a long distance away.
No.
You cycled, or?
Well, you could walk down.
Yeah.
It was not far.
There's no restrictions, no borders, no.
No.
Yeah.
Well, of course, there was a border, but we didn't pass any remarks on it. I mean, there was the unapproved road.
Yeah.
You couldn't drive a car down, but you could walk down, or you could go in a horse and trap.
And you often did, I suppose, did you, in the horse and trap?
Well, I remember my mother going visiting friends of hers, and they coming up to meet us in a horse and trap.
and so that kind of travel was the way to go.
I mean, when I was a child, it was all horses and traps. There was only about two cars or three in the town.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, there'd be all horses and traps at Mass.
Yes.
After St. Chapel, yeah.
Yeah.
And your father, what was your father? Yes, his first name again was...
Bernard.
What was Bernard doing for a living?
He was a draper.
And he had a... He ran the business with your mother, is it?
Yeah.
The two of them. And how was business in those days? Was it tough? Do you recall?
In the 30s, it was tough. But everybody made a living. And there were small shops all in the town, and they all made a living.
And do you know when De Valera came into power in 1932... Do you have any early memories of the excitement of that?
No. My mother would burn them.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
She hated De Valera.
Did she say why she hated him?
She put brother against brother in this country with the Civil War.
Yeah. And... So,
so don't talk to me about De Valera.
Okay, and so politics in your house then would be more Fine Gael side,
yes,
would it?
Yes.
Michael Collins.
And yes.
And what about so, you know, that time, you're going into the 30s, you're heading towards a great war, the First World War.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're heading towards the Second World War in 1939.
That's right.
Do you recall that time?
I do. I remember the day well.
And can you talk to me about that time?
I remember it was a Friday and war was declared. And I remember my father and mother went up to Dublin on the Sunday and buying a lot of stuff for the shop because they thought it'd be a big restrictions.
And so, did you follow the course of the war? I mean,
no.
Would you have any interest?
No.
Did you have a wireless set in the house?
Oh, yes, we had.
And who were you listening to on the wireless now?
I didn't pay much attention to it. The news would be on and that, but... Hmm. I remember the Eucharistic Congress and everybody listened to the news then, listened to the radio... In 1932.
Imagine.
I remember being brought to the Eucharistic Congress.
Oh, were you now?
Yeah.
Yes. So can you recall that day?
Well, I can remember the excitement of it and the crowds that were there. That's
where were you at it?
Yeah.
In Dublin?
Yeah.
My, yeah. And so... The crowds in the city must have been...
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember all the colours and the flagpoles and the bunting.
In 1956 and 7,
yeah.
What do you remember about that time?
Oh, it was troubled times and... You just were. You were always afraid that there was a bomb went off here in Belturbet and it killed.
Young O'Reilly got it.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. And the bomb went off in Swellenbar. There was always that fear that something like that would happen. But we got through it.
Yes. And in that time, you know, you would have had a family of your own.
Oh, yeah.
And you were married. So could you tell me a little bit about that? You were married to...
Danny O'Reilly. in 1950.
Is Danny still alive? Or
no,
he passed away?
Yeah.
And were you running a business yourselves?
The two of us ran the business.
Yeah. And was this drapery as well?
Yeah.
Did you take over your father's place?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And you were there when all this violence was going on around you?
Well, it was happening across the border. We didn't really see much, but there was troubles, you know, there was shootings and different people shot.
But tell me about the McCabe.
Well, that boy was a schoolboy and a great friend of my son's, Cormac. The two of them were at school together and played together. And then he went down to the north as a barman and he was shot.
And when the news got back...
God, it was terrible.
Say, prior to the Troubles, you would have had maybe the Fermanagh Protestant community coming across
buying
clothes from you. Did they stop coming then?
No, they didn't.
Really?
No, still kept coming.
But that kind of shooting that went on from the hill, was that common practice?
No. No, it wasn't.
And would you hear the shots?
No.
But did it make you tougher? I mean, in the sense that you were now in the middle of these troubles that were happening. And
I don't think it did. It didn't pass any remarks. Life went on.
Yeah. And what happened with the time Bobby Sands died, you know, you had little peaks in the troubles.
Yeah.
So the whole town was closed down. Do you remember closing your shop?
And having, you know, nobody liked that. But they had to go with the flow.
And you closed?
Oh, yeah. If you didn't, maybe something would happen.
Was that out of fear?
Well, you just didn't want to put yourself in danger.
And what about the black flags that were flying out windows?
Yeah, well, no, they were flying on poles. And do you remember, Kieran?
Yeah,
on
poles.
Yeah. And did you find your Protestant neighbour, were you still suspicious about people or anything?
No. You're more suspicious of the IRA.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
But explain that to me, because I have no idea now. What do you mean?
Well, you had fellows from different parts of the country staying in different houses. They were supposed to be safe houses. And he'd be more inclined to be afraid of them causing trouble. The Protestants never caused any trouble.
Were you kind of turning a blind eye to all of this, you know, these people? You didn't talk about it, did you? Or would you have talked about it?
No. Just hope for the best and you get on with your life. With certain families, and they were very much IRA.
We call it the rag business or the drapery. Yeah. It must have been a tough job, you know, kind of trying to make a living out of it, you know?
We made a good living out of it. But I was saying, even all the little shops made a living. And I think of...
Mostly in a shop local at the time.
Everybody yeah. shop local.
That made the difference. There was no Sinead's Wounded Duns in Cavan or anywhere else at that time.
We had a big lot of customers from the north, from Fermanagh.
Yeah, her husband also ran a bar in the same building as Monica ran the drapery.
Oh, I see. And Kieran Maguire, could you tell me how you've been living in Ballyconnell for a long time, have you?
Yeah. Most of my life, yeah, that's right.
In Bonboy.
Next door, in Bonboy village, yeah.
And your father was a teacher. What was your father's name?
Chris Maguire.
And he taught in the local school there, didn't
yeah, he?
Yeah,
he did, yeah, before me, yeah, that's right. He taught in a number of local schools and he finished up in Bonboy National School.
And so you decided then to follow in
his footsteps. That's right, yeah.
And did you teach in Bonboy as well?
I did, yeah, I finished up there. I taught in a couple of schools before that.
So where did you teach now?
Well, I taught in Ballyburgh, in East Cavan, first for 2 years. Yeah. And then I came closer to home. I taught for 14 years in Munilagh School, which is next door to Bonboy. And then I finished my years in Bonboy itself.
Being border people for a lifetime, how difficult was it, or how good was it living in that area?
It was all right. You had the best of two worlds. We were able to smuggle from the north and survive.
But that wasn't the case in when the security forces started putting up checkpoints and
we were
closing.
Able to smuggle all the time. Well, during the war years, there was no checkpoints, you know.
But during the Troubles?
During the Troubles, there was checkpoints then, all right, yeah.
And the... do you remember the day that there was a riot in the town when the guards had to call in the army to protect... There was a protest. Do you remember that, Kieran, the protest?
I remember hearing about one in Ballyconnell one Sunday afternoon, or one Sunday evening, I think it was.
When?
They were in at the back of Dolphins, in Dolphins Pub.
That was before my time.
Oh, no, in the 70s they're talking about.
It was only
a one day wonder. It was over in a day or two, in a few hours, like.
But Jack Fadden, who was the
sergeant. Yeah, that's right.
He told me that it was an emergency, that they actually called in the army.
Yes, yeah. They may have. Well, the guards probably felt they needed protection, all right, yeah. Yeah, there were throwing stones at the guards. There were people in Frankie Dolphin's pub, or at up the archway at one side of it. They were throwing stones at the guards on the street. There was a protest or whatever. I don't know what sparked it off. I wasn't there, but I heard about it later. There was a bit of a mini riot there. What you'd call a mini riot. There, all right. But you
so called IRA.
I suppose it was something like that, or staged by them. Well, there wouldn't have been trouble much in Ballyconnell itself. It'd be down at the border or over the border, you know. There was never much trouble in Ballyconnell, apart from that day that I'm talking about.
Oh, what about Bonboy then?
It was quiet all the time. Bonboy was quiet. There was never anything like that going on in it at all.
Was it mostly farming?
Yeah, it would be. Farmers coming in on a Sunday evening to the pub or any night. That's right. It's a farmer community.
Describe them to me.
They're good neighbours.
Did you see them different to yourself?
No.
Did you see them as people that lived, that were part of the United Kingdom, that were different in that way?
Not the farming community.
Would you have called them Anglo-Irish?
Not at all. They were Irish.
In your eyes, they were Irish? Did you see them as Irish?
Ah, yeah, there would be. You mean the Church of the Protestants in Cavan or in Fermanagh?
In both sides of the border.
Well, I wouldn't have known very many Protestants in Fermanagh, but the ones in Cavan were quiet living, hard working people.
Yeah.
As far as that was my summing up of them.
Great neighbours.
People spoke to me about ethnic cleansing, trying to get rid of the Protestant families who had farms along the border.
A lot of the farmers. I know one farmer, Protestant farmer, and he left and went down the north and came back again. He said he couldn't live with them down there.
Mm-hmm. Who was that?
Bob Woods of Killallen.
I didn't know that man now. Mm.
How do you mean he couldn't?
He didn't like the neighbours down there. He'd rather the neighbours up here.
And he came back?
Yeah.
So he'd never sold his land, he just went north, is it? Or?
Yeah, sold his land and came back again to the Free State. There wasn't a bitter marks passed on Protestant or Catholics.
No.
And how difficult, you know, when to go back in time again now, because in the war years, during the war years, what kind of entertainment was going on in the town? Do you remember dance halls or?
Oh yes, there was the dance halls. Star Ballroom was built.
Star Ballroom in Ballyconnell is a medium-sized dance hall. It became a cinema as well.
That's right.
It's a furniture store today.
And
then there was the Protestant Hall up the town. It'd be nearly as big a hall, but not quite. Maybe not quite as big a hall as the Star.
Oh, what was that called?
It was Tom Regan. They called it the Tom Regan Hall.
And
named after a district, an old district. Tom Regan.
And would the Protestant hall be exclusive to Protestant couples going and dancing there?
Well, the Catholics danced on
it
too.
Catholics danced myself in it. Catholics went there too, you know.
And the Protestants went to the Catholic
dance hall, did they?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there was no
never any
sharp
difference.
Division like that. Same with whist drives.
Yeah.
Catholics went to Protestant whist drives and still do, and Protestants go to Catholic whist drives and still do. Yeah, that's right.
The dancing
isn't a big part of the scene today like it was 40 years ago, you know what I mean? There's far less of it done, Catholic or Protestant, you know what I mean? But whist drives and other activities take place.
And concerts,
yeah.
And who came to perform in the dance hall?
Different bands from different places.
Ken Brown had a band from Butler's Bridge.
Right.
He played in Bon Boy Hall in the 50s.
They had.
No, we didn't have show bands. These were smaller bands than the. The show bands, you know, the big show bands.
There were show bands
in the Star Ballroom, yeah, there were, from time to time, yeah. But not too many because the hall wouldn't hold a big enough crowd to pay the band, you know what I mean?
Talk to me about the concerts, the shows that were put on.
Well, 10 years ago when I was a child, there used to be travelling
groups. So
groups would come, the Carrickfords, and there was another one I can't remember. And they used to put on a show for a week.
They put on a different show every night.
Yeah.
They had a repertoire of plays prepared, and they might do five or six plays in a row, different ones in a row. And then they'd pack up and go on to the next town then.
Yeah.
But they'd attract the crowd, because they're all professional actors. Some of them ended up in the Abbey Theatre in Dublin. They were top actors, you know what I mean?
That was. Do you recall big crowds going and supporting them?
Yeah.
Yeah, how crowds would go to the Maori.
I would have been only a child at that time. Now.
Yeah. And the costumes and the stage sets.
Oh yeah, and then there was the local troops. You know, the local concert.
Well, that'd be in addition to every parish nearly had a dramatic troupe, you know. And they'd be doing some of John McGean's plays or someone else's plays, you know what I mean? Yeah. Save was done in Tamworth, I know one time. It's in the news these days, Save. Written by John McGean.
It was a local years and years ago there was always a great local dramatic society in Ballyconnell.
It was.
So that was the main entertainment.
That's what
she did.
Well, that was really for Lent more than anything else, wasn't
it?
Because dances were suspended during Lent. But you could go to concerts or go to plays on a Sunday night instead.
Yeah. And the effort that was put in to putting them on was enormous, was it?
Yeah.
It was.
And people really looked forward to
it. They did.
People had to learn their lines. I remember taking part in a play myself. I don't know, was it Keane, J.B. John B. Keane wrote a Moll, that one. I think he wrote that one too, didn't he? I was my one off part, I was the bishop of that one. There was a row between two priests, Father Laurie and I forget who else. And of course the housekeeper was the real boss in that house.
Oh yeah.
In the priest's house, Moll.
She was the important one in the parish.
Yeah, she was. She was running the parish.
She sure did.
Yeah. So I came in at the end as some sort of a peacemaker or something between these priests. Anyway.
My, and did you ever participate, Monica, in any play?
When I was a child.
Yes.
My local teacher, she used to put on plays for the children in school. And we'd have a concert always in August. And it supplied the fuel for the school for the winter.
The money that was made.
Mm-hmm. My father taught in Tomra School, which is 3 miles, which is halfway between Bonboy and Swanabar. And a friend of his, Coughlin, he was a Donegal man, taught in Tyrcahan School, which is nearer to Swanabar. And, it's not a school today, it's closed, but the building is still there. And he ran a dance, Michael Coughlin, in the 30s, ran a dance, it may be the early 40s, he ran a dance so they could buy some coal to heat the school. But sure, at that time, you couldn't run a dance without a permit. And he just engaged local musicians, the locals all came to the dance, and the next thing is he had a visit from a guard and he was summoned and fined in court for running a dance without a permit. Now, around the same time, 3 miles up the road, my father ran a dance in Tomina School without a permit. He didn't know anything about permits, and he was able to buy a bag or two of coal with the proceeds of his dance. But poor Michael Cotton had to pay a fine for running his dance in Tyrcahan. That's it. It's in the Celt. It's recorded in the Celt. In the paper, where he was fined.
Is it?
It is,
So, how did your father get away with it and the other man?
Well,
didn't?
The guards weren't aware of it or something. They mustn't have been aware of it. He's a bit further out from Swanabar.
Yeah.
They just mustn't have been aware of it. That would be the only reason.
How busybody.
Yeah, busybody, you know.
Yeah.
And that Coughlin man, his name was Michael Coughlin, he was a granduncle of Mary Coughlin, the TD in Donegal.
Oh, indeed. The town, you didn't have electricity for a long time.
We had a local.
The VSB, they had a private supply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of electricity, hadn't you? From a way back.
Yeah.
I think from the early 1900s, before the state was set up even, was it? 1922.
I don't remember.
Yeah. But what were you saying? The local.
There was a local plant. Generator. Electricity plant. And a fellow from Melturbet started it up. Stewart.
Yeah.
And Mr. Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it gave light. Was there lamps or lights in the street?
Yes, yes.
And in all the houses?
Yes.
Yeah, Ballyconnell had its own, that electricity supply already, yeah. Yeah.
So
you didn't
have that problem in the house, so or no, in the shop.
No.
You had always light.
Yeah. Then the local plant, it used to go on about 4 o'clock in the evening, the winter evening, and it went out at 12 o'clock at night.
So you'd have to be in your bed by 12 o'clock, or you'd be going in the dark. I see. Yeah, that'd be it.
And running water in the house was... You had all of these facilities.
Well, we had water because we had a pump at the back door and it pumped water upstairs, and we had the bath and toilet.
Was there a pig fair or a...
Yeah.
It was a monthly fair.
A monthly fair.
What, it used to be on a Monday, wasn't it?
No, Tuesday.
Tuesday, was it?
It used to be years ago. It used to be the 18th of the month, and then it was changed then to the first Tuesday, I think.
I see. Right.
And would that draw a lot of
farmers
in from all around?
Oh, it was a big fair. It was time to be packed. Mm. And stall holders too.
Yeah.
No, because of the border, were they coming across the border from Fermanagh with cattle?
Yeah.
And selling them at the fair?
Yeah. Oh, farmers have to leave in at dark. They'll have to leave at 3 or 4 in the morning to walk the cattle into the fair. There's a famous recitation about two Fermanagh farmers, or two brothers walking the cattle up from the Derry Linn area to Ballyconnell. I know that all
Mick,
the,
and Pat.
Mick and Pat, but the last line of it was, there was a bit of a fog in this poem anyway, and the last line, two lines finished up, was it Mick drove Pat or Pat drove Mick to Ballyconnell Fair? This is the last line of it, because they arrived at different times, but they're not sure which of them arrived first or last because of the fog, but they got there anyway.
Farmers sold their cattle. Maybe run an account in a shop, and then they would pay their bills then when they'd sell their cattle, you know.
That was the time to sort out the debt that they
clear off the account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, in Bourneboy we had a workhouse, so that would have been it would get a brief mention of what was it doing there and what were people doing in it, you know what I mean? You'd have been aware that there were people in there and that it was the famine drove some of them in there, well, between hunger and disease, you know.
It was the fever hospital.
The fever hospital later on, yeah. But it was hunger and disease put them in the first place. You knew that. You knew a little bit about it. It's because you're looking at this huge building, you know, beside you.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, it's certainly a landmark, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we used to go to Mass. There was a chapel there in it, and we nearly every Sunday we went to Mass, 9 o'clock Mass in the workhouse.
Yeah.
It wasn't a parish church, it was a workhouse chapel, but we had the concession, the local people had the concession of, and the local curate said Mass there on a Sunday.
And would you have known anybody who had gone to the workhouse, say, during the fever time?
I often heard my father say that, I think, some of the family were down in the fever hospital in Bourneboy, but I don't remember.
From his own family, is it?
Yeah.
It was a busy hospital during the 1917-1918 period, the Great Flu.
Yeah.
The Great Flu of 1918.
That's right.
Affected it. It filled up the fever hospital at the back of the workhouse. It was a separate unit to the main workhouse.
Is that what you're talking about, Monica?
Yeah.
And was that called the Black Flu by any chance?
No, I or never heard. It was, no, you know, it was the great Asian flu. I think they called it the Asian flu, did they? And it came from, some of the people called it the Spanish flu, I think.
The Spanish flu.
Spanish flu, yeah.
Well, I remember he was working in Toomey's at the time and he had to go home, down to Ungallis, to help his brother because they were sick with the flu.
Yeah, yeah. Probably confined to bed, or should have been, yeah.
Hmm.
Probably had to go to bed with it.
No, well, and he had to go down and help.
They had milk cattle or something, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. They were terrible times,
oh,
really,
were,
at
oh,
that
were.
Time. Yeah.
And oftentimes, when somebody died, it was the strongest and fittest person in the house.
Well, I too, I started with the bad flu. Died within an hour of each other. Sisters of my mother's.
Sisters of your mother's?
Yeah.
And what were their names?
Ellen and Mary McGarty.
And was it 1918 that roughly they died?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that. So it killed two
oh,
of...
Oh yes, it killed families.
Yes.
Oh, I know of a woman up in Corla. She's... I knew a woman, Cicely Dolan, and she lost her husband and two children. The three of them were buried the one day in Corla Chapel, in Corregia and Corla. That's the next door parish.
Yeah. Imagine that.
The husband and two young children. The three coffins were buried the one day.
I said two aunts of mine.
Yeah.
And they were in their 20s.
Yeah.
And... They died within an hour of each other.
Yeah.
With the bad flu.
Monica, listen, thank you for your time. You were lovely to talk to, and I appreciate your time very much. Thank you.